Hi.
Hello, hello.
Nicole, I have the PowerPoint now and I can go through, I can change the slides. Do that for you now.
Sure. You know what, Lynn, if I'm able to share my screen, I'm totally fine to pull it up and do the slides and skip that. If I can't, I'd love to be able to have you swoop in there and be able to do it. So that'd be great. But so, I have them up. So it worked last time. So I think it'd be okay.
Let's do it then.
So Lynn, where are you?
I am in the hallway between the two doors at Brookins. Lyle Shields' room is actually locked. That's where I'm supposed to be, but these doors are also locked. So if a member of the public were to come to participate in the meeting, I can let them in. So at least I feel like I'm satisfying the letter, the spirit of the law, although not the letter of the law.
I just like the background. I couldn't
Isn't it pretty?
Where it was. It's nice.
Now I have a good place to sit and I can hear both doors. So that's what I think is important.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I send you all the link to this meeting? I did. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to put the board packet in the chat in case there is anyone attending the meeting who doesn't have it.
You make this meeting a little longer then?
You know I can do that. That's my superpower.
There I am.
Lynn, I needed to tell you I'm going to need to leave at 7:15.
Okay.
Just, I don't know if there'll be things, I think most of the things we'd have to vote on would be done before then. Maybe the whole meeting, but.
They might not all be done, but there aren't very many action items tonight. And we have a study session next week at the same time. It may be quicker, but next week we hope that you could have a deeper discussion of the three-year plan objectives and the potential and the priorities as they are now and what we should do next. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on that tonight because we have next week for that. We don't quite have a quorum yet.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
Seems like it's been 2 months.
Wow. Times go slow when you're being quarantined, doesn't it?
You're right. Well, just one more board member and we'll have a quorum.
Okay. If you get bored, Lynn Canfield has a beautiful office right outside in the front of our house.
It's so great, isn't it? It's so good. The only downside is that there are mosquitoes day in and day out. And they're so bad. I mean, they're just, I have all kinds of candles and doohickeys and stuff, and they won't go away. But it's pretty.
So we don't have a quorum yet? I wasn't counting here.
No, one more person. I know Joe was looking for the link. So he should be here any second. And then we can start going. Do you like my background?
Yeah.
There's Todd Patterson. Now we have a quorum.
I really like it.
It's very pretty. It feels nice too. Hey, Kyle. You make it a quorum. If you want to open the meeting, you can. I'm not sure if Joe has been able to log in yet. He was having trouble.
Well, the link in your email didn't work for me.
Uh-oh.
So I just went to Zoom US and then I used what was in the packet, the numbers.
Okay.
So maybe he's trying to get in through the link you sent.
Okay. I wonder what happened. Do you all want to start the meeting without him while I try to find the right link? Strange, because the link that I sent you, okay, I see the difference. All right. Sorry about that.
I dropped the meeting ID in the chat, if that's helpful, then.
Well, I found it. I found it. Again. I apologize for this. Do you want to start without Joe? He's coming.
I think we should.
Okay.
I'm in contact with Joe by text. He said he can't get in.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. He's working on it.
Lynn, do you just want me to start?
If we have a quorum, I think we ought to start.
Yes, I do too.
All right, it's just called a mutiny. I call this meeting to order, the Champaign County Mental Health Board on Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020 at 5:55. Can we have a roll call?
Susan Fowler. Susan Fowler. Tom Moore.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
Kathleen Worth Couch. John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Jaomo Osagie.
Here.
Oh, I'm so sorry about the bad links. All right.
Oh, it's okay. I just got on, so we're in, and let's get it going. It's part of what we're having to deal with these days, so it's just part of the course. So how's everybody doing?
Good. We're fine.
Good. Good. So let's get it going here.
We're ready for
citizen input. Is there anybody ready to put in something here? Say.
I've tried to sign in the chat.
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and talk, Bobby? You don't have to sign in the chat. Too.
Yeah, you don't have to sign in. Just go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'm still new at this, so I'm learning. Thanks. My name is Bobby Horakovic. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Champaign County Forest Preserve Board of Commissioners. I'm an Urbana resident. Lynn, I go by your house at least once a week. And I think you kind of look like you're in the Busey Bank deposit room right now. I wanted to let you know that I've had family members who have been involved in your programs through Community Choices, so I am familiar with some of the great things that you do, and I really appreciate it. Mary Ellen Wellner, I was going to ask her, the executive director of the Forest Preserve, to go ahead and speak tonight, but she just texted me that her root canal went over time and her face is numb. So I will go ahead and let you know what we're doing real quickly. I know you have a very crowded agenda, so I'll make it quick. Champaign County Forest Preserve, as some of you know, is Lake of the Woods, Homer Lake, River Bend Forest Preserve, the Middle Fork Forest Preserve way up almost to Gifford, Sangamon River Forest Preserve, and then the latest one, the Kickapoo Rail Trail. Those are the things that we're in charge of. The Board of Commissioners back in the 90s when tax caps came through thought they were being very frugal and they did not maximize their ability to tax the rate that would be helpful enough to take care of our capital needs. So we are going to the voters on November 3rd. We're asking for a very minimal tax increase. It would cost an owner of a home that was valued at $100,000, $5.35 a year. So if you extrapolate that to a $200,000 home, that's about $10 or $11 a year. And we hope that we will be able to take care of our capital needs, increase our ability to do our wetland preserves, and work on our clean air and clean water as we go ahead and continue to plant trees and flowers and also to be able to improve our programming through the Museum of the Grand Prairie. And I'd be happy to take any questions. We're here, we were planning to ask you for your support individually or as a board. I know we're not on the agenda, so you can't vote on it tonight, but we would like your support and I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can. Thank you.
How much you hope to raise?
That would be a Mary Ellen question. I think it's about $460,000. The total, our capital improvement backlog is about $3 million right now. So it would take several years to even catch up. We're really good. One of the things I'm really proud of with the staff there is that they're very good at grants. We have done any land acquisition totally with grants. The Kickapoo Rail Trail has been totally done with grants and donations. Any improvements that we have been able to make, we've gone out and asked our supporters for, and they've come forward as we can, but we're to a point where we just can't continue. We're going to have to start closing things down, like the spillway at Lake of the Woods that has the orange gummy fence around it, the roofs that need to be replaced, that kind of thing. So we're really kind of in a desperate situation at this point. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time.
And you're welcome.
I appreciate everything that you do for our community. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You have a good day. Bye-bye. Is there any other community presentation? Anyone else? Okay, if no one else, we'll move to approve the agenda. Oh, yes.
So moved.
No, I can second it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion of the agenda right now as it is?
Should I do the roll call?
Okay, go for it.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes. So, I mean, I have limited comments this time. I mean, I think we're still looking at coming up with a board resolution or a board statement about racism and mental health. And it's just been a rough time for everybody. And I think we all are living through this time with the hope that it gets better. So those are my comments for today. So executive director, any comments you would like to add?
Well, it was so quick. I don't know if I can beat it, but I hope to. I don't really have anything to add. It's a really full board packet. A great deal of this is for information only. If we can't discuss it tonight and you want to discuss it later, that's fine. There's just a few actions for you all to decide on and an exciting presentation to start it off. So
okay.
That's all I've got. Thanks.
Okay. So we'll go to that then. So, new business. Is the U of I ready to present or? So.
Yeah, feel ready when you are.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. I hope all is going to go well. I'm going to share my screen. All right. Every time I expect that technology to fail, but it worked, so.
Yeah, here.
So I thank you all for having us. My name is Nicole Allen, and I work with Mark Aber, who is also here as part of a team to build evaluation capacity among funded agencies of both the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board. And because some of you, I think, are new and maybe haven't heard us present about this before, I just want to start very briefly with the definition of evaluation capacity building. You're probably all generally familiar with evaluation, even if you're not familiar with all the ins and outs of program evaluation. And often when we think about evaluation, we think about having an external evaluator come in to make a judgment about whether or not something works. So that's outcome evaluation. And external evaluation is often beyond the scope of funding and resources for many of the funded agencies of the Mental Health Board. But there's still a desire for those agencies to have an ethic and a regular practice of evaluating their work, of discerning the outcomes that result from that work, of being able to identify those, of thinking about the processes related to the work. And these are all relevant questions to evaluation. So evaluation capacity refers to the process of improving an organization's ability to use evaluation and to learn from its work and improve its results. So we have really enjoyed the opportunity to partner with you and with your funded agencies. So when we're doing this, when we're building capacity, right, we're talking about building knowledge and skills, building buy-in You know, I like to think about evaluation as fundamental to engage in ethical action. Like, we ought to look at what we do to know that what we do matters. And so really infusing that, where evaluation is not just about being able to report back to a funder or check a box, but it's about using a research process in one's work to inform that work. Also building resources. Evaluation practically takes time, it takes human resources, it takes material resources. So even processing or storing data requires access to some technology. And then also building supportive peer networks. So this idea that when you're building, especially an evaluation culture, that you're also building that where people can consult with each other. And you have such a lovely community of funded agencies that all meet on a regular basis too with each other. So there's that potential for a peer network. I want to remind you, even though I know this isn't the board packet, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, of a few of the FY20 deliverables. So we wanted to continue to create a learning organization. This is that spirit of infusing a value and motivation around evaluation among your funded agencies. Continue to support the development of theory of change logic models. Logic models are, I don't know if everybody's familiar with them, but in a nutshell, they are an articulation of where you, what you want your programs to result in the long term, what short-term intermediate processes and outcomes are going to get you there, and what activities are tied to those. So logic models are very fundamental to the articulation of outcomes, and they are the first step in moving toward evaluation. You might be surprised sometimes that people have to work really hard to get clear about what the outcomes that would really be resulting from the effort that they engage in. So that's always our first step. And we offer logic model workshops to support that development. It's conceptual development. And we really develop these in earnest with our partners. And the partners here were the subset of agencies that we engage as targeted partners. And we work with them throughout the fiscal year, meeting very regularly with them. And I'll talk a little bit about what it is that we do with them in a moment. We also have a consultation bank. And this is the place or space where people can bring questions they have about evaluation, even though they're not a targeted partner. So they may say, hey, we want to measure something. Are you aware of empirically based measures for that? Or we're trying to develop a way to process some of our data, or we have some data and we want to think about what the findings from it mean. And so we have maintained an evaluation consultation bank. And then also to build a buffet of tools. And this also goes to the networking. So anything that we're developing for one agency, we make available via a Google Doc for other agencies. So our partners, and this is reports for each one of these are in your board packet, but this year we worked with our targeted partners, Crisis Nursery with their Beyond Blue program, Head Start with their Early Childhood Mental Health Assistance Services program, and the Uniting Pride Center of Champaign County. So they were our three partners this year, and I really want to give a special shout out to all of these partners because they continue to work with us even in the context of COVID and all the disruptions that they experienced at that time. We moved the work to a virtual space and it continued. And so just to, you know, really say what excellent partners they were in that process. So we're not gonna go through every single thing we did with each of these agencies, but to say it's an intensive partnership. So we're really walking them through an entire process from conceptualization to an evaluation plan that can be implemented. So that involves really honing in and creating a working theory of change logic model. It involves identifying and tailoring for use, so engaging in adaptation of existing measures, ideally measures that are empirically supported for the populations that they're interested in assessing. Sometimes we need to create entirely new surveys or measures because they don't exist. We develop data collection processes. So how are they going to gather data? From whom? Where are they going to store that data? How are they going to utilize the data once they have it? Helping programs think about appropriate benchmarks for interpreting program impacts. So what is it that you would expect with a particular outcome? How would you define success? What are you trying to achieve in the short term? And then also to support data, and this is, you know, an ultimate goal is that you have that data, you use it, you learn from it, and you apply what you use. That really closes that loop in the value of evaluation data. So that's sort of a summary of what we did. And I don't know if anybody has any particular questions. I'm going to pivot a little bit to talk about a little bit of a self-evaluation we've done on ourselves that helped inform the things that we proposed in FY21. But is there anything people want to ask, or we can just wait for the end? Okay, I will go on. So one of the things that Mark and I and our team has consistently tried to do is also evaluate ourselves in this effort. So again, it's not external evaluation, but Mark and I use some flexible funds that we have to fund a research assistant to be looking at this process so that we can keep improving our process in building evaluation capacity among funded agencies. So our goal was to assess evaluation practice, belief, and skills. We did this via survey of funded programs, and we did this in the fall. So this was for FY20, but we did it in the fall. We actually had 26 agencies complete the survey. 14 of them had never been a partner. 8 were a partner prior to FY20, and 4 of them were partners during FY20. So some representation from those with whom we've worked and those with whom we have not yet worked. And one of the things that was great to see in this feedback is that almost 90% of the responding agencies are actively assessing outcomes. There were a couple of programs that indicated they were not, but the vast majority were actively currently assessing outcomes. Over 60% of your funded agencies had a logic model, which I think is great. I think everybody should have a logic model, and it should be a goal that everybody's like, yep, we've got this. It's a working document. I was really thrilled that over 80% of those who had a logic model looked at it again. So it wasn't something that they just created and put in a drawer, which is a real temptation with logic models, but doesn't make them terribly useful. And about 30% of those who had a logic model had actually made changes to the model. So they actually engaged with the model again and adjusted it. And this is ideal, because in any action orientation, your logic model should be a living document that reflects your work. And it was also gratifying to see that many of your funded agencies had generally positive views about evaluation and its utility for their organizations. So they self-assessed relatively highly around being motivated to engage in evaluation, and also in their evaluation skill sets. And I'll provide a little more detail around this. So this gives you a little bit, some examples. And actually, this is worth at some point looking through the presentation and reading these, because it really takes you through a lot of the nuts and bolts of what we're doing with the targeted partners. So developing a plan, clearly stating measurable goals and objectives, identifying strategies to collect information, defining outcome indicators. So once you know what your outcome is, how are you going to measure it? Deciding what questions to answer, deciding from whom to collect data, collecting that data, analyzing it, using that information to develop recommendations, examining the impact on people from diverse ethnic and racial backgrounds, writing an evaluation report, conducting an evaluation of the program on their own, conducting an evaluation with support from others, and presenting findings orally. And so it broke down a lot of these components. And one of the things we want to note here is that we looked at, you know, where were the scores relatively lower? You know, so were there 4 on this scale, by the way, was strongly agree. So it's a very high endorsement. And 3 is still agreement. 2 gets us into disagreement. So they still agree they have these skills, but it's dropping down a bit around conduct an evaluation on my own, write an evaluation report, analyze, develop questions and evaluation. These were rated slightly lower. So that's important process information for us. One of the things that is good to see is that for our 7 past partners, and this did not include our active partners in FY20 because they had just started working with us, when we asked them to self-assess on their skill set, on many of these evaluation skills before working with us, and then benchmarking that or thinking about that after they worked, this top line indicates how they self-rate on a scale of 1 to 10. After they've worked with us, and the red line below before. So there was a general positive view that there's an increase in skill. And this is, again, self-perception, right? So we're not assessing those skills outside of this, but there's a self-perception that those skills are strengthened. I will also tell you that we are using your performance outcome reports from these same partner agencies to do an assessment of the quality of their reporting. And this isn't to then report on them and say, oh, this is what's going well, this isn't. But this is so that we're looking to see, is what we planned translating into practice? And is that reflected in the performance outcome reports? Not just in the year following or the year during the partnership, but subsequent to it. We also ask questions about their perceptions of us as a team and how well we were doing on various dimensions. And so they said we did understand their programmatic efforts, that we aligned evaluation planning with them with programmatic efforts, generally that we ensured the information and skills they needed and overall satisfaction was relatively high. But it was also the case that this relative rating for capacity for sustainable evaluation was a little lower. And this is something coupled with anecdotal information and also the sorts of requests that we get for the consultation bank that really made us think about what we wanted to do in FY21 in order to make sure that what we're doing in year one with folks when we target partnership with them is sustainable into the future. So in FY21, we're working on negotiating the partnerships right now, 3 programs for targeted evaluation. 2 of those would be from the Mental Health Board and 1 from the Developmental Disabilities Board. And that this would be for not just initial consultation, so initial partnership, but for continued partnership. So these are folks with whom we've worked before, but who we would re-engage as ongoing partners with the goal of taking that implementation plan to the next level in terms of data usage, analysis, and interpretation. We also want to do some workshops with Mental Health Board and DD Board funded agencies regarding data usage fundamentals. So there's a ton of information just about creating a data set, how to structure that, how to utilize Excel effectively, how to display data, how to interpret, how to report, that we would like to start to take up and workshop with some of your funded agencies. And finally, we always want to remind you that we are available to meet with you as requested. We always offer to the Mental Health Board, do you want to create a logic model for yourselves? Because you could. Anybody who knows me loves that I love conceptual clarity in these models. And so we are very happy to come and do that with you all as a board. We're happy to come and talk about the uses of evaluation, to talk about any facet, to understand more about your goals and priorities for evaluation, and also to think about how you can continue to instantiate evaluation practices in your funded agencies. So that is always built in, and we would be very happy to engage in that partnership. And I will leave it there, and we would love to hear your questions.
I have a question.
Elaine, I see you.
Yes. I was just curious. You said that I think some 20% changed their logic model.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean that results then in a change of their services and what they are doing, or what does that mean, to change?
I can't say so specifically. You know what? I'm going to turn a light on because I realize I'm in the dark here. I'll do that in a pause here. But
yeah.
I can't say specifically whether or not it resulted in a change in programming. It might have, but it can also result in just thinking about like your activities and saying, you know, we actually think this is really a critical intermediate outcome and it's not reflected here. So it might not be a change, an actual programmatic change. It might actually be a change in that articulation and that conceptualization.
Okay. All right.
And that's why it's really treated as a living document, because you know, a lot of times we think pretty abstractly about our outcomes. You know, you want to help people, you want to improve well-being, you know, and those are not usually very actionable. So you have to really get to the specifics. Also, in self-evaluation or building evaluation capacity in organizations, longer-term outcomes are often really hard to measure in a sustained way, especially if you have a relatively short window mm-hmm. of contact, right, with the family. Or, you know, in your intervention process. And so those intermediate outcomes are so essential, because those are like your check to say, are we on the road we thought we'd be on to be helpful to people? Have we achieved those intermediate outcomes? Mm-hmm. Are we on the path there? Did we increase the knowledge we thought we'd increase? Did we increase the skill set we thought we'd increase? So revisiting the logic model can be about that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That's good information. Thank you.
Other questions? And I do apologize that I am now deeply in the shadow. Yeah.
It's kind of
any other questions?
All right, we're going to take that as feedback that we're doing this perfectly for you. So, Mark, is there anything that I missed or that you want to add?
No, you did a terrific job, Nicole. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, I will just say we appreciate the opportunity to partner with the board, and it has been really wonderful to work with funded agencies from the board. And we have identified our partners for this year. We're just talking with them about what's going to work out. And so we look forward to letting you know who they are and keeping you abreast of progress. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Okay. So.
Would it be helpful for you to see the decision memo instead of this?
Yeah, that would be helpful if you can do that.
Yes. I'm sorry. I keep sharing the wrong thing, sorry. So anyway, this is a decision memo about,
are we going on to the next item now?
Yeah, the next item was Scylla.
Okay, I just want to say one thing before we
go ahead.
Nothing to take an action on. I just think we ought to seriously try to plan a time for us to take advantage of this logic model for our own functioning. I said that before, and we usually say we're interested, but we haven't managed to actualize it. And I think we're missing an important opportunity that the board could benefit from.
That's definitely a conversation to have and decide on what time or when we would be able to put that into our into the planning. So Lynn and I will
future agenda, I guess, for discussion or whatever, or let Lynn just tell us when we can.
It would be a future agenda item, and Lynn and I and maybe Kyle would discuss that and see when we can fit that in.
So the hitch is always when we're ready to do it. Are Nicole and Mark still available? So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do have looking at a season of some unexpected action, potentially. The issue with Scylla, you know, you have some background information in this decision memo, but essentially what's happening is that the mental health board has the authority to borrow money to purchase things. The DD board does not. So in 2014, it looked like a really great idea for the mental health board to take out the mortgage. You all did that, you've paid it back. The situation between the boards is equal in every other way, except that the titles are in the mental health board's name. Then upon a closer look at the statutes, the attorney working for the mental health board's behalf and the attorney working on the DD board's behalf agree that the DD board is a more suitable owner of properties for the purpose of services, because the Mental Health Act was changed a few years back so that owning properties for the provision of services is not a clear authority anymore. So they recommended just straightforwardly changing the title, just a transfer of the titles on these two properties from the Mental Health Board to the DD board. So that's the first action. It's technical, it doesn't change anything else in the agreement between the two boards regarding this project. It does trigger a couple of other things. The named on the service agreement at least two service agreements, the property manager and the residential services provider, IAG, and the insurance are all under the mental health board's name because they're the named owner. So I would have to make those changes. I would also request that we make additional changes to the lease if we could negotiate with the renter, if they would do some services in exchange for a little bit lower rent amount. The property manager was fine with this idea, but I didn't bring it back to you for that decision last spring. So they've had this lower rental amount for not quite a year, and they're still really struggling to stay in business in this community. So now, on top of it all, there's a question of whether we can actually continue the SILA project with that provider, which is Individual Advocacy Group. And that's the provider which was selected by an RFP process back in 2014. So I've added another question for you, and that is, if you would authorize me to start working on a new RFP. An RFP takes a really long time to complete. And so I think, even though we don't know exactly what's going to happen next, it's probably good to start the process and make sure that included in it is the option to stop the process if you need to, or if circumstances change. In every RFP, there should be a statement about if none of the bids are, you know, if you go through the whole thing and you get some bids and none of them are preferred, then you don't have to issue a contract. So as long as we are careful and keep track of the situation as it goes, I don't think it would be any harm to start doing the work. And then if, you know, the best case scenario and the provider can somehow afford to stay and continue to serve the people in our homes, then we just stop working on it. You might decide to sell the houses outright, and that's another option that you could exercise at any time. The thing is, for all of these things, both boards, I have to agree, or I have to come back to y'all. So anyway.
Yeah, Julie has a question.
Yeah, yes. I'm assuming that the electronic hand raising thing is operative. So at any rate, my question is, in the event that we would decide what after we've transferred the title, if we decide to sell the house, what happens to the money for the house? Does it all go to the DDDBDD board because they now own it? Or does it get divided back up in some fashion? I just don't understand.
That's all described in the intergovernmental agreement, which last, I think when you decided to pay off the mortgage, which was 2 years ago, you also revised the agreement between you and the DD board so that the project continues to be split in half financially, and also that you each have equal authority over it, regardless of who's named on the title. The name on the title doesn't change the authorities.
No, that's not my question. My question is, what happens if we sell the house?
Described in the intergovernmental agreement.
You sell it, you get money.
You split the money evenly, according to the agreement.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
So when I'm sharing another image on the screen, I can't see the hands raised, but right now Kyle and Tom both have their hands raised.
Okay.
I was just real quick. So you said this was a recent revision to the state law?
No, in 1997.
Oh, okay. Well, that was to us.
We didn't know that back in 2014. We didn't know about the change.
Okay, thanks.
And arguably, this was still the best way to go because the mental health board has the authority to borrow money. So, although like on kind of squishy ground holding the title, you could clearly borrow.
So we purchased this house after the revision in the law, right? So it was all, we just misread it when we were making. Okay, because I had a question about why weren't we just grandfathered in, and because it was already in practice, we just misread. Then do we stay, or do we continue to split maintenance on a house or repairs or any of those kinds of, who's responsible for this house now?
Right now, both boards contribute equally to it, but because you all paid it off a few years ago, you contribute zero each year until the DD board catches up to you, but it's still calculated as half and half.
So if it needs a new roof, they have to agree to, even though we have put in—
Money's there. You don't have to decide on, the money's there, and that should be covered under insurance. Or at least most of it is under insurance, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think the questions about what to do with the houses in the future could become really, you know, sort of big conversations. So, I don't want to suggest that I know your hearts on this, but I started with the hardest possible scenario, which is that we have six people living in those houses and they need a service provider and we need to find the right service provider for them. That's the hardest thing to do. So that if we get on that road and we start planning to do that, then every other thing we could do is easier. So, you know, if they all move to different homes and they're fine and no one needs these houses anymore, then it might be, you might want to sell them for a specific use, which I think might be an RFP, but a different kind of RFP. You might want to sell them outright and just have the money. I mean, those are all great options for you to discuss in the future as we learn more.
Okay. And we're going to learn more. I mean, the system and the state is changing quite a bit. So is there a motion?
Sure, I'll move to authorize transfer of title for each property from the CCMHB to the CCDDB as described above, pending approval by the CCDDB.
I will second the motion.
Can we pass these in omnibus together?
I don't have a problem with that if it's according to the rules.
I didn't catch that question from Kyle.
I was going to ask if, because it's my understanding that we would be passing all three of these. Is that right?
We would be passing what?
All three.
Yeah, so if we're passing all three, can we do an omnibus motion to pass them all to vote on them together?
I think we should do them one at a time.
Okay.
Elaine moved and Jane seconded, so let's vote.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Brandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
So this is changing the named owner in the three agreements and then potentially renegotiating the lease.
I'll make a motion to authorize the CCDDB and CCMHB executive director to revise the related agreements as described above, pending similar action by the CCDDB.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Is still any discussion? Okay, let's vote.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
This one kind of makes me cry, but
okay.
You know, we're going to learn how to do an RFP if you approve it.
You want to explain why it makes you want to cry?
The process takes a while.
Yeah. It's cumbersome.
But it's really important that it be done that way. So I'm really fine for going through it if you all agree to. And just for context, the DDB did approve all three of these motions this morning.
I move that we authorize the CCDDB and CCMHB executive director and staff to prepare requests for proposals to continue the Silo facilities project pending similar direction from the CCDDB.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
I'm just curious, does the present provider, would they know we're doing this?
Good question.
No. Okay.
What I would like to do, if both boards approve this motion, contact them tonight. I've reached out to them a few times. I understand the current problems. One of the biggest problems lately is the murder of a staff person. So, you know, they lose staff through the normal ways, and then they lose staff because of COVID and family responsibilities, and then a murder. So I think that it's just become really heartbreaking for them. So I've been trying to stay in touch. And if I say, you know, we're prepared to issue a new RFP if you can't stay, she might say, no, we want to stay. And then I would let you all know as soon as I know. But I just want to make sure that we don't leave either people without services or empty houses for a really long time. I'm just trying to prevent those two things from happening in the spring.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Can you vote?
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Thank you. So what I'd like to do, and I'll work with Joe and Kyle on the agenda for the coming months, I'd like to present you all with a draft RFP if it does appear necessary to get that started as soon as your next meeting, if we have time, so that I can get some feedback from you all. Some of you have been through this before, so.
Okay, thank you. The next item, the three-year plan, draft for 21, objectives on page 39 to 148.
This is Mark. I'll just introduce the plan. It is, it's kind of a, every September, a draft is released. It's been kind of discussed internally with staff and based on, I guess, an environmental scan, so to speak, adjustments are made to the objectives. This would be the last year of the current three-year period. So we have some minor wordsmithing, as well as the addition of some new objectives, and then the removal of several objectives. The objectives being removed are essentially activities that, as we have on the screen, objective four here, are the cultural competence plan that agencies are required. Embedded in that is the use of the class standards. So that's why that objective is removed. There's another one on this same page, encourage development of a collaborative agreement. That is something that's been incorporated into the application that agencies complete. They are asked to present information on their coordination and collaboration with other providers. New objectives, we have a couple that are related to the pandemic. We have one related to the One Door proposal, our work with UIUC, along with other funders related to a web-based resource. And then another issue of the day is related to racism and its impact on mental health. So those are all new objectives that are added to the plan for the coming year. This is an initial draft. It is open, all of it is open for discussion and input from the board, as well as it will be circulated for stakeholder and public comment. And then based on that feedback, the plan will be brought back to the board at the November meeting for action. I believe it it may be discussed to some degree in relation to priorities at the study session next week. The study session is primarily on priorities, but the plan should also tie back to the priorities that the board is looking at for the coming allocation cycle. So I just wanted to give that overview. If the board has comments at this point, I'm more than happy to entertain them. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. So any questions for Mark or comments?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, one comment. Good for us, we've accomplished some goals, so we can take them off the list of goals because we've done them and we're adding some new ones that sound pretty good.
Great.
Hooray for us.
Moving in the right direction.
Well, this is for Mark. With goal two, it looks like to me, maybe it's because I just haven't been paying attention, it's like those following six, seven objectives look like things that we've been done and that we've been doing, and now they have them compiled under goal two, which I certainly want to commend us for addressing the health disparities. But Mark, am I right that we have been doing some of this stuff all along, but we just haven't collected it in this fashion?
If if you're talking about objective seven, the new objective, we have been collecting information as we go along, certainly from the agencies and their experiences. There is, so this is to look at the data that's being promulgated, the actual numbers. And it's my understanding that, I've seen some things, but I'm aware of some data that's going to be coming through a United Way project. It's called ALICE that they're involved in, and they will have specific information related to the impact of COVID. Mm-hmm. And it will be statewide, but it will include data specific to Champaign County. So we'll have, in addition to the agency experience that's been shared and continues to be shared, we would have additional data. I've also seen some things related to ACEs. So that data in terms of the impact of the pandemic on children as an adverse childhood experience, mm-hmm. what that means. So that was just basically a chart I had seen.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for Mark? Okay. If there are no questions or comments from Mark, we'll move on to agency information. I know it's really hard to get agency information now in the time of COVID, so tangentially, I know I got some information about Macy because Sarah is on the board of a restorative justice with me, or she's leaving the board of a restorative justice with me. But she says that Macy is working towards getting many of her students in the Mahomet area access to the internet, because many of the kids who seem to need those services are other kids in the Mahomet area who do not have internet in their homes. And so Macy is open and providing services. They're trying to rotate the kids in as much as possible. Any other agency information? Okay. It is hard to get out there. I mean, I just happened to get the information at a different board meeting. So we'll move on to old business. So as we look at all business.
So the first old business is those old budgets.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem. Money stuff.
Yeah. You spent some time on these in July. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of traditional that what we know in July is just the beginning. So now, actually the next day after you approved budgets, we learned these other things. So you can see on page 150, the revisions from the drafts that you already approved include a greater amount of revenue from property taxes than we originally budgeted, which we then were proposing that you spend that in an increased amount for agency allocations. And then we also had a surprise, which looks like a bad surprise at first, but I've really come to appreciate. Just this very day, the county is purchasing an electronic record system, finally, The one that they have here is, I think it was designed in the 70s or 80s. And it's hard. And it's the reason that your claims report, you know, looks like a computer came up with it by itself in the middle of the night. And it's also the reason that I spent several hours today in the office trying to pay one bill. So this new electronic, and that was only, Chris would have paid it, but he couldn't do that for me. So it was like, I'll just go and do it. And I can't. So this new system will do things for us that seem unimaginable. Like Chris would be able to write the bill from his phone and pay it. And then we might even, if we ask for it, be able to set up a window where board members could look at all of our financial activity as they like, not just once a month with the claims report. So, you know, we get to tell them what are the things that will suit us the best. They think a higher degree of accountability and transparency is always great. And then more readable reports will be really sweet. So that's a really high cost next year. And then the cost goes down a little bit, but that was added after we approved the first budgets because we didn't really see that coming. We didn't know it was going to happen. I think it's all to the good. So that's the other important change in expenditures. The recalculations of staff insurance costs are very slight, and they were mostly lower than we expected. And then there's some differences in the background information.
Okay.
Updated. So anyway, that's cool.
Any discussion on this? I guess move to approve.
You're muted.
Julian.
You're muted.
Sorry. If we approve this budget, what percentage of our funds or how much will we have held in reserve? Where are we doing with that? That's all I want to know.
Well, you have a reserve recommendation that is, we have enough money on hand to pay the bills for 6 months.
So that's not changing, right?
That recommendation is not changing, but we have, this year, we're spending some of the reserve because of the property tax decision. So some of that reserve was actually held in reserve, or some of the fund balance was being held in reserve for that very purpose. So now you're a little bit below the goal. So when we get to that low point in the budget, you won't have 6 months of operating expenses. So that's something that if you would like to, we can build that back up by returning more to the fund and not spending as much on everything. And
we should keep an eye on it, that's all.
We do pretty consistently underspend in all of the administrative costs. So, you know, that's a little bit every year helps and it builds up. So, you know, if you want us to be more explicit and deliberate about holding some money into fund balance again, we can certainly do that.
No, I think that would be fine. I think we're doing, I think you're keeping a good eye on the bottom line, so I think it'll be fine. So make a motion. Can I make a motion? Motion to approve the attached 2021 Champaign County Mental Health Board budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $5,847,991.
I will second it. Okay.
Any discussion? Any more discussion?
I do have just one thing to say.
Hey, John.
You know, I think, like you guys said, just keeping an eye on making sure we have enough reserve for next year. One of the things that we might just kind of keep in mind is that a lot of people can't access resources right now. One example that I see in my clinic is kids who are speech delayed. They are getting early intervention and they just can't really do a good job of doing speech therapy through a screen, you know? And so there's a lot of people that can't get counseling because, you know, they don't have access to good internet connection to do therapy. You know, kids who have ADHD that are in school and doing remote learning, they're having a harder time, people having more anxiety. Next year, we might see an increase in the amount of people seeking resources when things open up more as, you know, a vaccine comes out and, you know, more people can go to school, go to work, but then realize that they have to get, they can actually finally go and see a doctor or see a therapist or access resources before when they weren't there stuck at home. And so we may need more financial resources to accommodate maybe an increase in the demand for the people seeking care and in all the groups that we're funding right now. So just something to keep in mind and think about. That's just what I'm just want to put that out there. So
yeah. Thanks, John. Yeah, something to really keep in mind, definitely. So we can go ahead and vote.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Tom Moore.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Julian Rappaport.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
I want to apologize for the second motion. There is no change in the total expenditures and revenue for the Scylla fund budget from what you did in July. The only change is a bit of background information that's included in that document. But the reason I thought I would seek your approval again is because the background information actually appears in the document that you approved. So I thought I can't go changing that without you seeing it. And it's only about, there's a fund that's set up for one individual by a gift, and his parents decide what to do with it, and they finally started to access this money this year. So that amount has gone down quite a bit. That's the only, I just updated the amount, and I'm sorry.
No problem, to me anyway. Anyone who most folks who wrote that motion? Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Do you mean me?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Elaine. All right. I move to approve the attached 2021 Scylla fund budget with anticipated revenue and expenditures of $72,000. Payment to this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCDDB action.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? If there are no further discussions, we can go ahead and.
Tom Moore has his hand up. I can.
Oh, Tom, I did not see that.
Before. That's okay.
Oh, okay, my bad. So, do you have anything to add? Or that was from the last time.
Should I go ahead with the roll call?
Yeah, go ahead.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Brandel?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes. So here there is a really good some good information about their Disability Expo coming up. So good conversation about it. Okay.
I'll put it on the screen because it's so nice and brief.
It is.
It has facts.
Straightforward. As we see this very straightforward and concise and precise memo about it. Any questions or discussion? Any questions about it or comments? Okay. So if there are no questions about the updates, and let's move on to the next item. The schedules and allocation process on pages 159 to 162.
There's no change to these since I think there's no change since she last saw them, but the DD board schedule is changing a little bit.
Okay.
Just because of room availability, they'll meet on November 4th. So, and I'll send you that info.
Okay.
You're all encouraged to attend each other's meetings.
Yeah, it's kind of early. Is there anything about the schedule for this? And we'll move it on. Okay. CCDB information.
So CCDB met this morning and they took similar actions to yours in that they approved moving forward in the solar project in the same way that you did. They also approved a revised budget that's in your packet. You can see their budget, and they approved the SILA budget with the change to background information. They had two presentations. One of the presentations was about the large day program, which day programs across the country have been really deeply affected by COVID, like more than any other part of the DD service system.
Yeah.
Day programs are forced to change or kind of, it's just really a challenge. So it was a great presentation. And that's all I've got.
Yeah, I never really thought about it much. I worked as a facilitator of the day program, and it would definitely be highly affected by what's going on right now, because You can't do day programming by Zoom.
They've had some real successes with virtual programming, but not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge I think we're going to keep talking about, and it's an issue nationally. So if somebody has a breakthrough, hopefully we'll hear about it.
That would be great.
You ready for the minutes?
Go for it.
Getting to the end of the big actions. Approval of minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right, moving right along, man. Any discussion?
We are moving along.
Any discussion about the minutes? It's all good then. We'll vote.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Randall?
Yes.
Joe Omo Asagie?
Yes. Staff reports.
May I, just ask, I'm not sure if this is legal or not. So
we'll let you know.
Anyway, I have to leave at 7:15. So if there's another item that I need a vote on, which I think is the expenditures list, I'm not sure, but there's probably enough people. And we still have a quorum if I leave, I think. So maybe it doesn't matter.
You're good.
You're okay. Good, Julian.
Great.
But I was going to tell you it was illegal just because I wanted to. No, you can go. No problem. Okay. Staff reports. So Lynn, you got something?
I went the wrong way. Yeah, everybody has a staff report this time. I think it's everybody.
Okay.
So if you have any questions for us, I think that's just timing.
Well, thank you for them. There's very good information here, a lot of information, but you all have really been busy.
And yes.
I appreciate having this, you know, to go over. And
so busy in the time of COVID.
Likewise, I always read them and they're very informative and they remind me of what's going on. So thank you for doing them.
Yeah, definitely.
You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
The next one is board to board reports. That's, you're on.
Well, I went to the Rosecrans Community Board meeting, which of course was on Zoom, but their ability to communicate with me, at least, electronically didn't really work, so I don't have anything to report from it because I couldn't really hear most of it and I eventually gave up. But I'm not mad at anybody. It's okay. I'm sure they're having the same problems everybody else is having with these yes. technical things, so I don't think it was a big deal that I didn't really hear it. But anyway,
yeah, lots of us are having the Zoom blues. Anyone else?
right, here's the big one, the expenditure list. Three months of expenditure list.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And this is one of those things that we're hopeful. Chris is encouraging me that the new electronic record system may actually be able to give us reports that are easier to read and more tailored to us. We get to decide, so. Mm-hmm. Maybe another few months of this type. Maybe another year.
I just have one question. It's about an expense on page 202 for tutor doctor. What is that for? It wasn't one I recognized from other earlier ones, so.
That's a good question. What is the page? I'm so sorry.
It might be part of the Disabilities Expo, because I know they were going to give some services at the Expo, but now that it's virtual, I'm not certain that that is it.
It's page 202, tutor doctor.
So it's possible that it's a refund to an Expo exhibitor. Mm-hmm. I'll look.
Let's say refund, actually.
This is exactly why we have the claims report for y'all.
So that is part of the Expo. Okay.
It is a refund.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does say Disability Expo. And thank you, Jane, for remembering all the way back to July.
Okay, thanks.
So there may be other requests for refund. I think so far we've only had two, maybe three.
No, that's good.
That's good.
If there are no other comments or questions.
Can I make a motion that we accept the report?
Sure. I'll second it then. Roll call.
Tom Moore.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Harold Patterson.
Yes.
Julian Rappaport.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Joe Homo Sagie.
Yes.
I need to leave. Thank you all. Bye. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay. We'll see you. Have a good one, Julian. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Probably another Zoom meeting that he's got to go to. Okay. Board announcements.
I'm not a board member, but I do want to ask you a question. So we have a study session next week. I forgot to mention in the right place, the meeting schedules. I did try to just keep the same link and repeat it, you know, for indefinitely. So you just have one link for these meetings and the public would only have one link, but I failed. So I might keep trying to do that just to avoid the kind of the difficulty that you and a couple other people had this at getting this meeting. I'm really sorry I haven't figured stuff like that out, but it's on my list.
Did I save the link that you got us, that you sent us for today's meeting, or should I just discard that one?
Just toss it. I'm still working on how to do that.
Okay.
It would be really convenient for everyone and much easier for the public if we just had one link.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll keep working on that if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine. So are we waiting for our motion to adjourn?
We're saying there are the board announcements. I think that's the only board announcement that we had. So yes, motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second?
Okay.
Thank you.
We're done. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and I'll see you in 166 and a half hours.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
You guys take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Could you hold on a moment here?
Yeah.